You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
Hello and welcome to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Each week, I, John Wall, will bring you the latest gaming impressions, news, and industry happenings delivered to you in under 15 minutes to fit your busy life. On today's episode, we will be talking about Final Fantasy 16. If you haven't yet subscribed to the show, please take a moment to do so, and I would also love to hear your feedback, which you can do by leaving a review wherever you're listening to today's episode. And you can also find the show and join in on the conversation by finding us on Twitter or Facebook by searching for Midlife SQ. Every week I start off the show with some positive vibes, a special shout out to somebody awesome in an attempt to make the gaming space just a little bit more welcoming. And this week's positive vibes go out to the folks at Digital Eclipse. They are coming off of the success of last year's great Atari 2600 collection. And this week they announced a new series of interactive documentaries called the Gold Master Series. It's going to debut later this year with The Making of Karateka, the classic martial arts game, and it looks fascinating. If you saw their Atari project, you know that there is nobody that honors the history of the game industry like Digital Eclipse, and I am excited. I cannot wait to see what they do with this series. Leading up to the release of Final Fantasy 16, I wasn't exactly sold on the concept of this game. They are taking the most storied role-playing game series probably in gaming history and reinventing it as a character action game. I didn't know what to expect. I've loved this series for, you know, two decades, at least longer. And I've played most of the games in that time. So to take it in a completely new direction seemed risky. And to be honest, with new games being $70, I very likely would have just skipped this one if it wasn't for the very smart decision that they made to release a demo of the opening hour or so of the game. So, you know, for free, I gave it a try. And after I finished the demo, I immediately went and purchased the full game. This might not be the Final Fantasy that you grew up on, but for what they are trying to do, they are executing at a very high level. You play as Clive Rossfield, a member of the royal family and protector of his younger brother Joshua, who is what they call a dominant, meaning that he can transform into an icon, which are these massively powerful beings who are used when they're at war with other nations. Think of the summons from previous Final Fantasy games like Ifrit or Bahamut. The world and the setting are heavily inspired by Game of Thrones, with a, you know, chessboard full of warring nations and politics, and a darker, more mature tone with all of the sexual tension and F-bombs that you'd find in Westeros. And coming off of the, you know, boy band style adventure of Final Fantasy 15, it might take a little bit getting used to this new tone for series fans. And it's not just the tone that differs from the series history. The gameplay feels unlike anything I think I've played in a Final Fantasy game before. And it really has more in common with modern action games like a God of War. You control a single character during the action. It's a pretty linear game. There are moments when the maps open up, you know, a little bit for some exploration, but for the most part, the story just pushes you along from scene to scene. The fights in it are very frenetic and very fast pace. You alternate between physical attacks and a variety of magic abilities as you hack and slash your way through enemies. So many action games over the years have implemented all these different RPG mechanics into them, like crafting and ability trees and, you know, upgradable gear that you can collect. That, you know, the amount of role-playing mechanics used here, it feels downright slim. You know, there's really, you know, there's not that much gear. You know, you've got one slot for your weapon, two for gear, and then some accessories. And after about 15 hours, I really haven't come across like a whole lot of loot to collect or really felt the need to swap them out all that often. The ability wheel is also, you know, small in comparison to some other games like, you know, Assassin's Creed maybe. You'll have some items to use like potions for healing and some other consumables for buffs. But again, the amount of items that you're going to need to juggle is pretty small compared to previous games. If you go to Final Fantasy for intricate systems and character customization and all these stats, I think you might be a little bit disappointed in this. In fact, with all of these changes, I really expected to bounce off of this game. I thought I would be let down, but I'm not. If you can get past those initial expectations of what you think a Final Fantasy game needs to be, there is a great action game here to be had. First of all, the story is just really good. It's well done. It's got great characters, an interesting world, and there are lots of twists and turns and surprises that are really well executed. And, you know, it only took a few hours for me to really become invested in Clive's story, and I knew I needed to see how it played out. In particular, I really love this game's version of Cid. He's one of the characters that appears in every single Final Fantasy game, and this iteration of him is charismatic and charming and funny, and he just commands your attention whenever he's on screen. But the game is full of really good characters. The cinematics and the presentation are some of the other things that are just really well done. The voice acting is good pretty much across the board, and the visuals are fantastic. There are some big action cinematics, and they are stunning, for real. When you get two of these giant icons, you know, they're the size of skyscrapers going at it on the battlefield, it is just some of the most exciting cinematics I've ever seen in a game. And there are a large number of cutscenes in the game. There's a lot of story that they're telling, but they're so well done that I really never minded having to sit through, you know, another one. I'm only about 15 hours or so, and I think I'm about halfway maybe through the game. But I am really, really enjoying this, you know, much more than I was the recent Final Fantasy VII remake. You know, I think it's the more Western style of story and storytelling and the streamlined RPG mechanics. You know, it's just all coming together for something that feels really good for me. I still love old school You know, I love turn-based RPGs. I still have an affection for those kind of games. But this is just so well done that I'm willing to set aside, you know, like I said, my expectations for what a Final Fantasy game needs to be. And you're still going to get Moogles and Chocobos and Crystals. So there's enough there to remind you of the series that you fell in love with long ago. So last week, Meta launched their Twitter competitor, Threads, which has seen a massive surge of interest with over 100 million people signing up for the service as of this past Monday. And in typical Elon Musk fashion, he responded with threats of a lawsuit and a challenge to Meta founder Mark Zuckerberg to compare penis sizes. I'm not making that up. One of the richest and most powerful men in the world responded by saying, "Well, I have a bigger wiener." So if you follow me or the show on social media, I would recommend checking it out on Threads and giving it a follow, as I think that will increasingly be where I devote a large bit of my social posts. I'm not going to be quitting Twitter at this point yet, but although I might be tempted, as someone who is trying to grow a podcast audience, you know, that following, you know, it's not huge, but it's too valuable at present to just, you know, give up on. But if a large number of, you know, followers end up migrating to Threads, it might very well be something that happens in the future. And it's not like Mark Zuckerberg is some hero, some wonderful human being that we should be cheering for. But honestly, in comparison to Musk, who, you know, not only has made endless stupid business decisions, but he continues to make, you know, bigoted and ignorant and transphobic comments, and he amplifies toxic voices on his platform and protects them. And just think about how awful you have to be for people to say, "Yay, Mark Zuckerberg." You know, that's really saying something. So if you're on Threads, search for Midlife SideQuest and give me a follow. It's pretty nice there, and there's like almost no Nazis. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife SideQuest. Don't forget, you can catch new episodes every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you enjoyed the show, you can show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. And you can now follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Threads. Just search for Midlife SideQuest. So until next time, be well and keep playing.